Text for the sermon tonight is verse 7 from Psalm 57. Psalm 57, verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in the heading over Psalm 57 that God inspired David to write this psalm when he fled from Saul in the cave. Recall that early on in his life, David was laboring in the house of Saul and on behalf of Saul and his kingdom. And eventually, David became quite popular amongst the people on account of the many victories against their enemies that he won. That stirred up jealousy in the heart of Saul. And so Saul makes attack upon David, tries to kill David. David is forced to flee to save his life, forced even outside of the promised land, eventually as Saul is seeking after his life. And at some certain point, when David is driven away by Saul, he takes refuge in a cave, and it's there in the cave that God inspires him by the Spirit to write down the words of Psalm 57. There's two main parts to Psalm 57. The first part of the psalm is a cry of distress. As in the midst of his affliction, David cries out to God for God to hear him and deliver him from his troubles. And then the second half of the psalm is an expression of confidence in God's deliverance of him and a lifting up of praise and thanksgiving to God for that deliverance. The psalm begins with distress and it moves to confidence. It begins with fear and it concludes with victory. Verse 7 stands right in between those two parts, as it were, and pulls both of the two parts together, because in verse 7, both of the ideas of the two parts of the psalm are found. In verse 7, there's both the expression of dependence and trust in God in distress, as well as the expression of confidence and of thanksgiving and praise to God. Verse 7 is significant because it speaks to the heart of the believer. It addresses the orientation, the direction of the believer's heart. There's nothing so important as the believer's heart and the orientation of it. The direction in which our heart is set determines the whole of our life. Determines what we think, it determines what we desire, determines the words we speak and the actions that we carry out. All of that is the overflow of our heart. And what we confess with the psalmist in Psalm 57 is that the direction, the orientation of our heart is this: "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." And that is, and that must be, the living daily confession of the Christian in the midst of this world, in our times of joy and gladness, and in our times of distress and struggle. Confession of the child of God is this: "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." Consider what that means, taking as the theme of the sermon just that language of God's word: "My heart is fixed." First, let's understand what the meaning of that is. Secondly, consider what the effect of that is, the effect of a fixed heart. And then thirdly, what the explanation for it is. When the psalmist David confesses here, "My heart is fixed," he doesn't mean by that his heart was broken and now it's been repaired. The word "fixed" doesn't have that idea here of repairing what's been broken. Rather, the basic meaning of that biblical word is firmly established. My heart is firmly established. That implies that it's established on something. When he says my heart is firmly established, the question is, well, on what? What is it established? What is it grounded on? And it's obvious from the verse itself and from the rest of the context of Psalm 57 that the answer to that is God. My heart is fixed on God. My heart is firmly established on God. And as that's conveyed throughout Psalm 57, there are especially three things that the psalmist says here about God. Three things about the God on whom our hearts are firmly established. First of all, the God on whom our hearts are firmly established is merciful. Notice the references to that throughout the psalm. Verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. Verse 3, at the end, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Verse 10, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens. God's mercy is his pity and compassion upon his chosen people in Jesus Christ as they are sunk in the misery of their sin. In the midst of our life, our struggles, other people that are in our lives or that we come across might be very unmerciful. They might have no pity and no compassion upon us whatsoever. When we're struggling, that doesn't affect them. When we are brought low in our sins, there's perhaps only cruel mockery and there's no pity or compassion upon us. Other people might be unmerciful, but God is merciful. He has pity and compassion upon us for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. He pities us as we're sunk into the misery of our sin. And his mercy is not only that pity and compassion, it's also the power by which then he lifts us up out of that. The God on whom our hearts are fixed, firmly established, is a merciful God. Secondly, the God on whom our hearts are firmly established is a faithful God. It's indicated in Psalm 57 in verses 3 and 10 by the word that's translated there, truth. And that word literally means faithfulness. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth, literally his faithfulness. Verse 10, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens and thy truth, faithfulness, unto the clouds. Even the word for mercy in Psalm 57 conveys faithfulness. It's a word that could literally be translated steadfast covenant love. The steadfastness, the faithfulness of God's mercy and his love for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of our life, we may encounter and experience that other people are unfaithful. They make promises, and they fail to keep them. They forget about us and the hurts and the needs that we have in this life. They may have good intentions to help us and be unable actually to provide for us. Other people might be unfaithful. God is faithful, steadfast. His word to us is sure. He never goes back on his promises, but he always fulfills. He never forgets about us. He's never far removed from us. It's never the case that God desires, as it will, to help us, but fails in actually carrying that out. He's a faithful, steadfast God. The God on whom our hearts are fixed, firmly established, is a merciful, a the faithful God. And then third, the God on whom our hearts are firmly established is a great God. Verse 2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Verse 5, and then again, verse 11, the same refrain there. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David writes these words about the greatness of God in circumstances of distress. He's facing mighty enemies. His circumstances are painful. And we would look at all of these things that he's experiencing and say, these are great powers. Great power of King Saul that's being brought against David. The great power of the hurts that David is experiencing in that moment. These are great things. But they're nothing in comparison to the greatness of God. God is great in his power. He's sovereign. He's almighty. None of the enemies of David can move apart from the sovereign will of God. Their power is nothing in comparison to his almighty power. God is great in his glory. The weighty, radiating beauty of all of his infinite perfections. God is a great God. God on whom our hearts are firmly established is merciful, faithful, great. Now, what does it mean to have one's heart fixed, firmly established on God? It's significant that the Word of God here speaks of the heart. As we noted in the introduction, the heart is the spiritual core of the child of God. Just as our physical heart is at the center of our being, pumping life-giving blood to every aspect of who we are, so the heart spiritually is the spiritual core. Proverbs says that out of the heart are the issues of life. Every aspect of life ultimately has its source in the heart. The things that we desire, the things that we think about flow from the heart. The things that we do, the things that we say, all of it has its source in the heart. When David speaks about his heart being fixed, then one of the things that's indicated by that is that this is a matter of sincerity. He doesn't say merely that his outward appearance toward others is fixed on God, but he says his heart is fixed on God. From the center of his being, he's fixed on God. This is a matter of sincerity. It's not hypocrisy. It's not for the praise of men. It's not just done as an outward show. His heart is fixed on God. As we noted already, the fact that the heart is fixed means that it's firmly established. It's grounded. We might say it's anchored in God. In speaking that way, the Word of God, in a kind of figurative way, is describing faith and faith's trust. It talks about the heart being firmly established on God. The Word of God is describing in that faith and faith's trust. It's evident from a parallel. We sang a versification of that earlier. Psalm 112, verse 7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And it brings those two ideas together there then. And you notice that that's the spirit of Psalm 57 as well, as that's expressed already in verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. The heart that's fixed, firmly established on the merciful, faithful, great God is the heart that trusts by faith in God. It means that we depend upon Him, rely upon Him for all things, rest in Him for all that we need at all times. A heart that's firmly established in God, trusting God. One of the ways that that's expressed in the life of the child of God is by our thoughts being thoughts of God. There's something of that conveyed here as well. There's some who translate that word fixed as to being narrowly focused. My heart is focused, O God. It's focused. Like someone who observes the stars might take a telescope and focus the telescope on one particular heavenly body. So the psalmist is conveying here the fact that his heart is focused, narrowly focused on God. The fact that our thoughts are thoughts of God is an expression of trust, of a heart that's firmly established in God. Isaiah 26 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." And the idea is of the mind, the child of God, that rests stayed on God. Trusting in God, our thoughts are thoughts of God. Meditate upon His mercy. Meditate upon His faithfulness. Meditate upon His greatness. Trusting in God, our minds are focused on God. David writes this as a matter of personal confession. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, firmly established, trusting in Thee. We know from the life of David that that was not always true of him at every moment. There were times where David's heart was not fixed on God. There was a time in David's life where his heart was fixed in lust upon his neighbor's wife. And there was a time in David's life where his heart was fixed on his own self-interest as he's trying to do away with his neighbor. There was a time when David's heart was fixed upon his own greatness, his own power, his own glory, when he sends out his men to number the people of Israel. David's heart was not always fixed on God. But in this particular circumstance of life, as he's fleeing from Saul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, David is brought to that spiritual height where he confesses, "My heart is fixed." And to add forcefulness to that, he repeats that, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." And it's significant that he makes that confession in the midst of the cave. When he's on the run, driven out of the promised land, chased by Saul and Saul's army, his life being threatened, taking refuge in the darkness of the cave, David confesses out of the cave, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is firmly established, trusting in Thee, the God of mercy, faithfulness, greatness." Such is the living confession of every sincere child of God. We confess by faith, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." When a young person, for instance, makes a public confession of their faith before the church, it's a confession, personally, that one's heart is fixed on God. By that confession, we're also saying something about our adherence to Reformed doctrine, the doctrines of grace. We're saying something about our commitment to membership in the Church of Jesus Christ. Those are important aspects of that confession, but at its heart, it's a confession of personal faith in God. My heart is fixed. My heart is firmly established, trusting in God. But that's not a one-time thing. It's not just at that one moment, for instance, when one makes in youth a personal confession of faith. This is the living confession of the child of God throughout our life. In times and circumstances of ease and of happiness, when things seem to be going relatively well in our life, living confession of the child of God is, and it must be, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. It's easy in those circumstances to have our hearts fixed on something other than God, have our minds filled with thoughts of any kind of other thing. When things are going well in life, it's easy to trust in ourselves, forget about God. And yet when in those circumstances, this is our living confession. My heart is fixed. It's firmly established on Thee, O God. And when God brings us, as it were, into the cave, in circumstances of difficulty in our life, trial, hardship, sorrow, it's then often that God brings us to remember His mercy, His faithfulness, His greatness toward us, so that we confess, my heart in the cave, O God, is fixed. It's firmly established, trusting in Thee. The Word of God here indicates that there's especially two effects of the heart that's fixed on God, firmly established on God and His mercy, His faithfulness, His greatness. First of all, the effect of a heart that's firmly established on God is that the heart is at rest. It's settled. That's what David is indicating when he says what he does here. His heart, being firmly established on God, is a heart then that's at rest. It's settled, anchored in God. It's secure and at peace. In understanding the circumstances in which David wrote this psalm, chased by Saul, you would think that David, when he comes to talk about his heart, would then say, my heart is floundering. My heart is fluttered, O God. Saul is the predator, I am the prey, I'm on the run, filled with fear, anxiety about the future and what's to come. We would expect him to say, my heart is very uncertain, it's unsettled, it's fluttering. David's confession is, my heart is fixed. My heart is firmly established in God's mercy, His faithfulness, His greatness. Anchored in God by faith, my heart is at rest. My heart is settled. It's not ruled by fear and by anxiety. It's a heart that's at rest. Similar in our experience. In circumstances of trouble, hardship, it's easy for us to feel as if our heart is filled with fear, anxiety with respect to the future. We might say about ourselves in such circumstances, my heart is fluttering, O God, my heart is floundering. And that's the case because so often our hearts are fixed on something other than God. Our hearts are fixed maybe on ourselves and our own strength or our own abilities. Our hearts are fixed on some earthly thing, or our hearts are fixed and narrowly focused only upon the removal of these hardships, the taking away of the difficulty. We want to be out of this situation, and that's what fills our mind. And what we experience then is a heart that's filled with fear and ruled by worry. A heart that's fixed on God, trusting in Him. A mind that's filled with thoughts of God's faithfulness, His mercy, His greatness. Is a heart that's at rest. It's settled. It's anchored in God. And it's not then ruled by fear and by worry. Beloved people of God, fix your hearts on God. All of the circumstances of life, in your ordinary joys and the ease of life, fix your heart firmly established in God. And in the midst of the cave and the struggles, the darkness of earthly life, fix your heart on God, firmly established in Him. Don't be ruled by fear and by worry. Trust in Him and receive from Him then a heart that's settled and at rest. It's the first effect of a heart that's firmly established in God, a heart that's at rest, a heart that's settled. Secondly, and strikingly, the effect of a heart that's firmly established on God is the Christian's singing. It's the connection between the two parts of verse 7. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And there we see another nuance to that word, fixed. In addition to all that we've said so far about the meaning of that word, firmly established and focused on God, it also can convey a resolute determination. And there's something of that here as well, as David talks about his heart firmly established on God, trusting in Him. His confession is also, I am resolutely determined to sing, to praise, literally to make melody is the last part of the verse there. Now again, don't lose sight of where David is at. Though confident of God's care of him and deliverance of him, that God's going to deliver him out of the cave and give him the kingdom, he's not yet delivered. David's conviction here is not when I'm delivered, when everything is going well in my life again, then I'll praise thee, O God. But his confession here and determination is right now, in the midst of the cave, when my life is being threatened, I'm going to sing. Because my heart is fixed, O God, on thee, trusting in thee, thy mercy, thy faithfulness, thy greatness. David knows God is with him in this cave with his mercy and his faithfulness and his sovereign greatness. And David is determined then to make the walls of the cave ring with praise and thanks to God. Such is the effect in the life of the child of God, our lives, of a heart that's fixed on God. We sing and we make melody. Sing God's praises, not the filth of the songs of this world that extol drunkenness and praise fornication. But with a heart that's fixed on God, we are led to praise Him. Singing is such an important part of the Christian life. Singing is on par with those other important activities of the Christian life, reading the Word of God, prayer. Those are essential aspects of our Christian walk of life, and on par with them is singing. God's church is a singing church. You and I, as individual Christians, are singing Christians. Singing is the effect of a heart that's firmly established in God. There's a reciprocal relationship between those two. Making the point here that singing is the effect of a heart that's firmly established in God, a heart that trusts in Him, knowing His mercy, faithfulness, greatness, that leads us to sing His praises in thanks and in worship. But the relationship can be explained the other way around as well. It can be the case that singing is used by God to lead us to have our hearts fixed on God again. What child of God hasn't experienced that? Where perhaps we come to God's house and we're not really prepared for worship. Our minds are filled with all kinds of other thoughts and distractions, concerned about what's happened right before we came to church. We're thinking about what's got to take place in the rest of the week, and our hearts are far from being fixed on God. And then we gather with God's people and we sing praises of God. And as we sing, God brings our hearts back to be fixed on Him, to be firmly established on God, and to be filled with thoughts of His mercy and His faithfulness and His greatness. So close is that relationship between a heart by faith firmly established in God and singing. So close is that relationship that we can ask, and each one face the question, if we're not singing the praises of God, what does that say about our heart? You and I are not singing the praises of God. What does that reveal about the orientation, the direction of our hearts? Does that mean that our hearts then are not fixed on God? Heart that's fixed on God, firmly grounded in Him, trusting in Him, will burst forth in thankful praise and worship to God in singing. Heart that's fixed is a heart that's firmly established on God. It's a heart that's at rest. It's settled, and it shows thanks in singing praises to God. Now, what explains such a heart? What explains that heart condition? There has to be some explanation, because the heart of the natural man is not a heart that's fixed on God. No unbeliever has a heart that's fixed in trust, genuine faith in God. Even for us as Christians who've been brought to faith by God, we know the condition of our own hearts. That though we've been given a new heart, we know in our own life and experience that that heart is not always fixed on God. Our hearts are like David's hearts, where at times we're, by the working of the Spirit, brought to confess genuinely, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. But at other times our heart is focused on any number of sinful things or earthly things. Our hearts are constantly in fluctuation, fixed on God, fixed on earthly things, fixed on God, fixed on sinful things, fixed on God, fixed on self. What explains the fact that our hearts, hearts that are prone to going astray and wandering and fluctuating, that aren't always fixed on God, what explains the fact that our hearts, even as Christians, are fixed on God? The explanation for that, of course, is the grace of God to us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the teaching of Psalm 57. The way in which that's taught is by Psalm 57 ultimately being a psalm that speaks of and prophesies of Jesus Christ. Psalm 57, in the end, is not a psalm about David. It's a psalm about Jesus Christ. David here is a type of Jesus Christ. So that when David is led to say here, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed," that's ultimately what's true of Jesus Christ and the heart of Jesus Christ. As David describes in Psalm 57 his suffering, his humiliation at the hands of Saul, he's prophesying of the suffering and the humiliation of the King, Jesus Christ. And when in verses 5 and 11, David speaks of the exalting of God, he's prophesying of the exaltation of King Jesus. The heart of Jesus Christ was always fixed. It was always fixed on God. It was always firmly established in His Father. Never for a moment did it stray. Never for a moment did His heart fluctuate between being fixed and not being fixed. Never did His heart flutter in sinful worry. The heart of Jesus Christ was always fixed. Always fixed on His Father, the work of His Father, the glory of His Father. And with His heart fixed, Jesus Christ went to the cross. Never wavered from that way for a moment, but He was fixed on the glory of the Father in the way of the cross and the salvation of His people. And it's because of the fixed heart of Jesus Christ going to the cross that He's made payment for our sinful, wandering hearts. It's only then by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ within us that we can confess, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." It's only for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and His fixed heart at the cross, that there's covering and there's forgiveness for all of the sinful wanderings and fluctuations of our hearts. It's only by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are given the gift of faith, and that He works in us to renew us and to transform us so that our hearts are conformed to the heart of Jesus Christ. The explanation for a heart that's fixed is only the grace of God and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's only by the work of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can and we do rightly and sincerely confess as our living confession, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the perfect heart of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his suffering and his death on the cross as he made payment for all of our sinfulness. We're thankful for new hearts given us by the Spirit of thy Son. And we pray that thou wilt continue to work in us by thy Spirit to fix our hearts more and more on thee, thy mercy, thy faithfulness, thy greatness. And we pray that thou wilt, in working in us then, cause our hearts to be filled with thanks and with worship, so that we lift up our voices in song and in praise to thee. Thou art worthy of all praise. We are nothing apart from thy grace, and therefore all of the glory, the honor, the power, the praise, now and forever, be to thee, O God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.